thank Rabbi Baruch for organizing this. Hashem, Rabbi Baruch is such a good friend. I don't know what I'll do with that. And usually when I come to America, I come to YU. And now they're making all these cuts. I heard they're firing so many people. So I was beginning to get worried. But then I figure, with the salary they're paying me, I don't have anything to worry about. So hopefully this will continue for a long time to come. We're learning a little bit of Parshas Tzav, and then about Purim. And if anybody wants to just put their head down and take a little snooze in the middle, it's all recorded anyway. You don't have to hear it live. And it's fine. I know it's a fast day, and people are hungry, and people are tired. So what happened, it was amazing what happened on the way here. I looked at the map of the subway to see, because oftentimes I don't know which train to take, so I guess. And I end up in the most interesting neighborhood sometimes. So this time I decided, you know what? You're in a little bit of a rush. Don't guess. Okay, look at the map and try to see what the correct train is. And in fact, the train I was going to take, which was an express, would have been an express straight into Gehenna. So, Baruch Hashem, I took the local, but the local got me to where I needed to go. So sometimes it's better to take the local where you need to go than the express to the wrong directions, the wrong neighborhoods. So, and then I thought to myself, that fit in perfectly with what we're going to talk about today. So it's Mamish Gevaldik. So Mirtz Hashem at the end, I'll show you how that all fit in. So the very fact that I'm here fits in with what I'm going to say. And also, I was thinking on the train, you know, I'm trying to think of different ways to make a few dollars. So to get up in the middle and just start singing, V'nahafach, you know, because they do that to make money, the people, V'nahafach, V'nahafach, and then it would have been YouTube, it would have gone viral, I would have been famous. But on the way here, I didn't do that. But maybe on the way back, some Purim Simcha for the thing. I just need to make sure somebody's videoing me. And then you'll all send it to your friends. Agreed? You'll send it to your friends for me? That'd be great. Just don't show it to my children. They'll never want to look at me. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lamer. This is all based on a shir my Rebbe gave a number of years ago in Tavshin Samaches. But it's still in Yanei Diyoma, even though it was 6 years ago. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor Kachas Aaron Vizban Avita Vesebegodim Vizshem and Amishcha Vizparachatis Vishnei Elim. So Hashem says to Moshe, take Aaron, take his sons, take the Begodim, take the Shem and Amishcha, take the Parachatis, take the two Elim, the two rams, take the Salamatis. So what is he telling him to do? He's telling him the whole Seder Avodah during the Shiva Simei Milu, and we know that on the 8th day of Ahi Bayom Hashmini, they erected the Mishkan, and then the first 7 days from Chav Gimel Adar was the period where they prepared the Mishkan, and they did the Avodah all 7 days. So that's what Hashem is speaking to Moshe. So when was this parsha said? What does Rashi say? Rashi says it was said on Chav Gimel Adar. What about Prakim Aleph Til Zayin and Parsha Sefer VaYikra? When was that said? On Aleph Nisan. So Rashi says, how does it go out of order? How is the Torah going out of order? So what's the answer we all learned in fourth grade? Ein muktam ucher b'Torah. The Torah doesn't have to be chronological. Ein baya. And the Ramban, what does the Ramban do for a living? He argues with Rashi. The Ramban says, lama hafach divrei Elokim chayim. Why does Rashi have to do that? Why does Rashi have to say that it's out of order? Why can't you just go straight in order? That in Parshas Pekudei we were on Chav Gimel, and then all of the first seven prakim are also Chav Gimel Adar, and there's also Chav Gimel Adar. The Ramban, you can look in the Ramban, there's a long Ramban. He doesn't like Rashi going out of order, but Rashi says, no. We were in Aleph Nisan, and now in Parshas Tzav, we're going back to Chav Gimel Adar because Ein Muktam Ucher B'Torah. So that's question number one. We're going to be Miyashiv Rashi. Number two, it says that Ves Par Hachatos. So it says a Hei HaYediya Hachat V'Chatos. So Rashi says that's the chatas we already said in Parshas Tetzaveh, because we already commanded what to do in Parshas Tetzaveh. It's being repeated in Parshas Tzav. So it says the chatas. So Rashi says, well, we were already commanded in Atat Tetzaveh. So Rashi is a little bit difficult because it says as par hachatas, but it also says as ha bigadim and as shem and ha mishchan. It already says that earlier. So Rashi was very careful when he wrote. Rashi didn't have extra time and he didn't have extra ink. Rashi had a big wine business. So that's perfect for our time of year. He made most of his sales in Adar. So the question is, why does Rashi say that V'chatas, that was mentioned in Parashat Tetzaveh, when the Pasuk already said V'begadim, Ha'elim, Ha'matos, Ha'begadim, what does it say here? It already says Habegadim v'shem and hamishcha. So Rashi should have said Habegadim, those mentioned in Parashas. This is talking about what it says in Parashas Tetzaveh, what I commanded you about in Parashas Tetzaveh. So why does Rashi read until Hachatas? Not only that, Bechlal, Rashi says that even though we already commanded in Tetzaveh, Chazer v'zirzo b'shas ma'ise. So even though we already commanded in Tetzaveh, b'shas ma'ise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us again. So why did we have to wait again, b'shas ma'ise, to command again? Why is it... why is it necessary to repeat it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told us in Ata Tetzaveh. So why b'shas ma'ise? You already told us. So if you already told us, so you already told us. So Rashi says, no. It was necessary to tell us again. Rashi says a lashon of chazer v'zirzo b'shas ma'ise. The b'shas ma'ise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us again. So you see, there's an inyan of zeiros b'shas ma'ise. So now we're going to get to Purim. Where do we see in Purim this whole inyan? We know Tzav is often next to Purim. So we have an unbelievable inyan here. It says, Ein Tzav el Zeruz miyad v'ladaros. So Tzav is Lashon Zeruz, that it's alacrity, it's exhorting us, it's giving us a push. So we see in Purim the opposite of Zerizus. Why? Because it says that Rabbi Chia, Rabba, and Rabbi Shimon and Chalafta were going in a place called Bikas Arbel. And it was dawn, and they saw the sun beginning to rise. Veroa yelas hashachar shebaka ora. So Rabbi Chia, Rabba, not Rabbi Chia and Rabba, Rabbi Chia, Rabba said to Rabbi Shimon bar Chalafta, kachi geulas shel Yisrael. That's the geula of the Jewish people. How does it happen? It goes kima kima, little by little. It gets bigger and bigger, just like the sunrise. You have a little bit. You have a little bit more, and you have a little bit more. That's the gula of the Jewish people. It's a process, little by little. Why? When I'm sitting in the darkness, God is my light. So what happened at the beginning? At the beginning, Mordechai Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech. That was the beginning of the process. And then what happened afterwards? Vayigach Hamanes HaLavush B'Sasus. And then Haman is taking Lavush and Sus, and he's parading Mordechai around town. How does that sound? It's great, it's a big up. And then Vayashav Mordechai al Shara Melech. Then Mordechai returns to the king's gate. Also part of the process. And then Mordechai Yatzim Lufnei Melech Belavush Malchus. And then, well, previously, excuse me, Haman took the Levush and the Sus. Mordechai returns to the Shara Melech, returns to the Shara Melech. Now he parades Mordechai Belavush Malchus. And then Lahud Maisora. So you see, there was a process. Haman taking the Levush, the horse. Mordechai returning to the king's gate. Haman parading Mordechai around town, and then what happens at the end? Lahudim Haisa'ora. So what do you see? You see that it's a process. So this seems to be a stira. What's the stira? We're talking here about Zeruz, Tzavis Aaron, you need Zeruz, whatever it is, Chisaron Kis. Whenever a Jew has to spend money, you always need to give him a push. There always needs to be a Zeruz. And we see over here that there had to be a Zeruz B'Shas Maisa. He had to be Mazaris them again, even though we already told him Parshas Tetzaveh. And here you see that it's the opposite. There's no Zrizus. Everything is going slowly. How long did the whole process of the Megillah take? 9 years? From beginning to end? You know, we always want a quick Baal Korah to do it in 25 minutes. But really, the original story, it took 9 years. So, Zrizus or not Zrizus? If Zrizus is so important, then let the Gula come to Zrizus. Not only that, but there's a Gemara in the Yerushalmi in Brachos Perak Aleph Halach Aleph. So if anybody ever decides to learn Yerushalmi, you're going to get to this at the very beginning of your Seder. So what does it mean? This Yerushalmi, it says that the beginning of the Nes was what does it say in the Yerushalmi again? Umordechai Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech. And then afterwards it says, what was the next sentence? It says, Vayigach Haman es halvush v'shasus. That's very good. That's the progression. Haman is getting ready. And then afterwards it says, Vayashav Mordechai al Shara Melech. What does it mean, Vayashav Mordechai al Shara Melech? The Gemara in Megillah says, Sheshav l'sako l'taniso. He went back to his mourning. So that's not part of the process of the Gula. That's a big down. It says that, Shav l'shara melech, Shav l'sako l'taniso. So we shouldn't, this is not part of the happiness. Part of the geula should have skipped that pasuk, let Mordechai parade around town, and then Lahudi my sorbisim chavisim vikar. No, no. The geula is going great. Haman is getting the horse ready. Mordechai is sitting at the gate, number one, great. We're getting ready. Haman gets the horse, terrific. And then all of a sudden it goes back. Now Mordechai is mourning again. We go backtrack, rewind. And then all of a sudden, now Mordechai is again parading around town. So that's not really the process of the Gula. We should have skipped that. It's actually interesting that in the Baal HaCharedim has a perish the Yerushalmi, the author of the Sefer HaCharedim, Elezer Askari, and he knocks this out of his girsa. Because he says, there's no light here. Dein zu ha'ara. Dilasagol taniso shav, ki the pirshu zau. He says, isn't the Gemara in the Bavli that he went back to his mourning? So that's not part of the Gula. That's the opposite of the Gula. And here the Yerushalmi is describing the Gula process. And this is anti-gula. So he takes it out of his girsa. The only problem is if you look in all of the tfusim, you look in the different texts, you can go to the fifth floor. Is that on the fifth floor? What floor is it? All the what? The fourth floor. You go to the fourth floor, and you look at old manuscripts, and you'll see old manuscripts of the Yerushalmi. You'll see that it's there. So we don't like to knock something out of the girsa whenever you don't like something, so you just cut it out. But that's not the way we live. So what are we going to do? We're going to have to be miyashiv this girsa. Now it's unbelievable. So we're going to give a big yesod of Rav Leib Eger. It's actually interesting how it turned out for me that today, on Tainus Esther, I mean, it's here to Nidcha, but on Tainus Esther, 15 years ago, was my son's bris. But I had another son before that, whose bris was 17 years ago, and his bris was actually on Yom HaZikaron, and Erev Yom HaTzmut, Rav Shechter was in yeshiva that day. He paskin for me. And we did the bris 10 minutes before Shkia. 10 minutes before Shkia. And it was the most zariz bris I've ever seen in my life. Even though, you ever go to a bris 10 minutes before Shkia? And it was the most zariz dika bris I've ever seen in my life. So how's that shaykh? So I learned from Rav Leib Eger. Rav Leib Eger was Rabbi Kiva Eger's grandson. Rabbi Kiva Eger was the gadol hador. We all know, everyone here learns Rabbi Kiva Eger. If you're going to shir and you're paying attention, Rabbi Kiva Eger, you can't avoid him. You don't want to avoid him. And he had a son, Reb Shlomo Eger, who was a very rich man. And he was also a huge gadol. He had both. He had money, and he had Torah. That's all of our dream, right? We want to, all morning long until 3, we try to get the Torah part. And then from 3 to 7, we try to ensure that we're going to have what to support the Torah. And then we can be a double personality. We can be both Yisachar and Zvulun at the same time. Wouldn't that be great? And then Reb Shlomo had a son named Reb Leivel. And Reb Leivel, Rachmana Litzlan, got caught up with the Hasidic movement. He became a Chassid. He became a Kotzker Chassid. And he is a Sefer. It's an understandable Hasidic Sefer. I recommend it for everybody. Called Imre Emes. Torah Emes. So, Rav Leib Eger. And he was a very fiery, enthusiastic Jew. They once asked him, it says in the Gemara on Shabbos, you guys are learning Shabbos, that they said that according to Ben Azai said, you learned the first parak? Ben Azai said, I see from your enthusiastic reaction that yes, you did, but you don't remember all of it. Ben Azai says that Mahalach Ka'omei Dami, that whenever you walk, it's like you're Omei. So if that's the case, the only way to walk Arba'amas Pershus HaRabim is to jump. So the Kasha is, if that's the case, then why do we make a gzera that you're not allowed to take lulav and megillah and shofar? Thank you very much, sweet friend. And shofar on Shabbos. What are the odds? Because we're afraid somebody's going to carry it. Arba'amas Pershus HaRabim. What are the odds? In order to carry Arba'amas Pershus HaRabim, you have to jump all four amos. Because according to Ben Azai, every time you walk, mahalach ka'omei dami. So every time you take a step, you're stopping. So you can't walk it, you have to jump it. So what are the odds that somebody's going to go on Shabbos, forget that it's Shabbos, and jump four Amos Pershus HaRabim to learn how to blow the shofar? So Rav Leib Eger said, I don't even understand the question. It's for a mitzvah. Of course you're going to jump Arba Amos to do a mitzvah. So he was a very fire. So he used to be, when he was a sandik for a bris, when he was sandik, he would do the bris very late in the afternoon. And they said to him, but Rebbe, is the reason, and his father, brother, the story goes, we're not sure if it really happened, but the story goes that his father sat Shiva for him. His father was a very, very strong mitnaged, but Rav Leib Eger wasn't so impressed. They once asked the Kotzker, his Rebbe, they said, why aren't you following in your father's footsteps? Your father wasn't a chassid, why are you a chassid? He said the pasuk said Zekeli Vanveu Elokei Aviv Romimenu. First, this is my God, and I should glorify Him. First, I go with my God, and then Elokei Aviv Romimenu, and then the God of my father, I'll exalt. You go in your own derech, and then afterwards you look and see what your father did. So I'm not telling you not to follow in the ways of your father, but everybody has to map out their own avodah Hashem, and that's what he did. And he wasn't so nervous about the fact that he wasn't following in his father's derech. He thought he saw the emes for himself. He went with the emes. So they said to him, Rebbe, we all know Rebbe Leib Lager was a gadol learning also. He was the grandson of Rebbe Akiva Eiger and the son of Rebbe Shlomo Lager, so he knew how to learn quite a bit himself. So they said to him, what about Zerizin? How do you make a bris at 5:30 in the afternoon? Zerizin makdim and lemitzvahs. So he said, you have it all wrong. It doesn't say Zerizin makdim and hamitzvahs. It says Zerizin makdim and lemitzvahs. You're makdim to the mitzvah. You're not makdim the mitzvah. You are makdim yourself. You're preparing yourself to do the mitzvah. So I'm up very early in the morning, and I do all my achanas, and I go to mikvah, and I say tehillim, and I learn in yanei mila, and by the time I'm ready, it's late in the afternoon. But it's not that I'm not zaris for the mitzvah. So you have, you know, you had, I once read a biography of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It was written by his gabbaim, the people closest to him. So what impressed me most about the biography was the fact that even though they were around him for decades, they were complete awe of him. Which is exactly opposite. The more somebody gets to know somebody, whenever somebody meets me for the first time and they think I'm important, so they speak to me in the third person. And then already they speak to me directly, and they call me Harav, and then from Harav it goes to Rabbi, and then they start patting me on the shoulder, and then I become Al, and then I'm their best friend in the world, and then they ask me to take out the garbage. The more you get to know somebody, the less respect you have for them, the less awe you have for them. And they were in complete awe of him throughout all the decades. So they told various stories. It was very fascinating, the book. And one of the stories they told is how, like, one time at 12 o'clock at night, everybody got together with the Rebbe and Davin Mincha. So you hear a story like that, and you say, like, this is so weird. But if you hold of Zrizin, Makdim, and Lamitz, so it's not that they're not Zaris to Davin Mincha. It could be that the Rebbe was already preparing for Mincha from 11 o'clock in the morning. And he was preparing for the prayer. And he simply wasn't ready to come before the king until 12 o'clock at night. I'm saying, if you had a meeting with the President of the United States and you weren't wearing any clothing, would you go to the meeting? No, you'd rather be late, but make sure to get dressed properly, then go naked. So I'm not promoting 12 a.m. minchas. But what I am saying is that there's this inyan of Zrizin Makdimin HaMitzvahs. What does that mean? That you're Makdim yourself before the mitzvah, and you do your preparations. There's a famous story of Rebbe Leibler that my Rebbe always tells, that he once said that whoever tells him a vort from the Kutzke Rebbe, he's going to give him, that he never heard before, he's going to give him a golden arendel. A golden arendel was a nice amount of money back then in Poland. If you tell him a vort he never heard before, he's going to give him a golden arendel. So a guy came to him, he said, I have one. What's it for? It says in the pasuk, "Mi bashachak yaruch l'Hashem." So the simple meaning of the pasuk is, "Mi bashachak, who in the heavens yaruch l'Hashem can be compared to Hashem? God is holier than all the angels." But the Kutzke Rebbe said this person in the name of Rebbe Leibler's Rebbe, said that it means, "Mi bashachak, who in the heavens yaruch can also mean to prepare." Also in the Torah, yaruch means to prepare, la'aruch at hashulchan, so to set. So who in the heavens prepares for Hashem? Meaning, angels are very nice, they sing to God all day. But angels don't prepare to do mitzvahs. Angels just do what they do. But human beings are greater than angels. We prepare to do mitzvahs. Mima Shaka, who in the heavens is preparing? They're not preparing, we're preparing. Rav Leibler loved that word so much, he gave him not one golden arendel, he gave him 10. And he lived on that for 6 months. It's a nice sum of money. I don't know if he was living in the Upper West Side and he's paying $4,000 a month rent. I don't know how much, you know, what he was paying each month. But he lived on it for a long time. Why? Because he liked that idea so much. This idea of not just doing the mitzvah, but doing a hachana l'mitzvah. Not zrizin makdim and ha-mitzvah. I'm going to just do the mitzvah right away quickly and not think about it. But zrizin makdim and la, your mitzvah is to be makdim, to prepare yourself to the mitzvah. And that's why you see, you know, if you go to, let's say, near Hanukkah. When I go to Hadlakas Ner Chanukah of my Rebbe, so what time are they doing it? They're doing it at 8 o'clock. What time is Tzeis HaKochavim? 5:30. So where are the two? So where's the Zrizis? Shouldn't you be doing it Bezman? And the answer is, It's not that you're not Zaris. You're Zaris. From 5:30, you're preparing. From 4:30, you're preparing yourself for Hadlaka. And you're just not ready until 8:30. So that's this reason Makdim in HaMitzvah. So this inyan of Zaris is not to do things quickly. When you talk about being Zaris La Mitzvahs, it's to be Zaris towards the mitzvah. You're quickly preparing yourself. And when you're actually doing the mitzvah, that's going to come later, whenever you're ready. So now we have a yisod. Everyone like this yisod? You can take it with you for the rest of your life. So now we're going to go back to the Yerushalmi, and everything's going to look beautiful. Rashi's going to look beautiful. The Yerushalmi's going to look beautiful. And you guys are going to look the most beautiful. So we said that Rabbi Chiya Rabba and Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta were walking in Bikas Arbel, a place in Eretz Yisrael. And it was dawn, and they saw Yelis HaShachar, they saw the sun beginning to rise. And Rabbi Chiya Rabba said to Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Kachi gulas en shel Yisrael. So is the gula of the Jewish people. At the beginning it's little by little, kima kima, and then all of a sudden the sun is shining in all of its glory. So whenever you learn Gemara, it says in the Yerushalmi, you should always see the Baal HaShmuel Lefanav. You're learning a mimer of Hillel. You have to know Hillel's life history. You learn Shammai, learn about Shammai's life, particularly in Pirkei Avos. It says, Hu haya Omer. Hu haya Omer. So that's all he said? That's all he said. If you go, anyone learn the Sefer Bilvavi? He has 374 Sfarim already. So how come a rabbi in Pirkei Avos can only say one sentence? And he can say, a rabbi today who's 44 years old can say, I don't know how old he is, and I'm slightly under-exaggerating the amount of Svarim, but then he has so much to say. So the answer given is, when he says that was his essence. Whenever you see a statement of a rabbi in Pirkei Avos, that was his essence more than anything else. So every rabbi you see, you have to know their history, their biography, and then you can understand what they're saying in the context of their life. So if you hear somebody say, I've had a long and difficult life. It's been very trying, and I've learned a lot of lessons. And then you heard that they were in Auschwitz for 5 years. Oh, you understand that in that context, it has a whole different meaning. What's Ard Nisyonos today? Ard Nisyonos today is, we have a really tough chemistry final, and we're not really interested in being a doctor anyway. But we have to pass the test, right? That's the that's our Baruch Hashem. A lot of times, those are Ard Nisyonos. We have Night Seder, a girl we're dating who we're not sure about, and a final to study for. So the question is, what should we mevatel night seder for the girl or for the final? Right? I'm saying these are the nisyonos that a lot of times we have to deal with in our life. So when you look at these rabbis, you look at their history. So what do we know about Rabbi Chiya? Rabbi Chiya says that he's going to make sure, it says in Bav Metzia, Dapei Amid Beis, he's going to make sure, Rabbi Chiya, in this story of the sun shining, he's going to make sure that Torah is never going to be forgotten for the Jewish people. Why? What did he do? He said that he's going to plant cotton and he's going to pick the cotton and then he's going to hunt down the deer and he's going to feed the food of the deer to the Yisomim and he's going to prepare a klaf and on the klaf he's going to write Chamisha Chumshei Torah and he's also... It says also he's going to make nets to do the hunting, to catch the deer. Bekitzer, he's going to do all the preparations, and then he's going to write on this klaf, he's going to write Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and then he's going to teach the children. And then he's going to write down the Mishnayis, and he's going to teach the children Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, and he's going to make sure that Torah is never forgotten in Klal Yisrael. So everybody asks on this Gemara, why did Rabbi Chiya have to do all the hachanas? All Rabbi Chiya had to do was teach children. Let somebody else do the hachanas. So the Maharsha had this question, and he said that he made sure to do it l'shem shamayim. He made sure to do it l'shem mitzvah. And so therefore he made sure to even the nets he made, and he even prepared the klaf, and he wrote down the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and he hunted down the deer, and he made sure to do everything l'shem shamayim. But in addition to the Maharsha, you can also say that Rabbi Chiya is making sure that Torah is not forgotten in Klal Yisrael. So he wants to make sure not just to do the mitzvah. Rabbi Chiya wants to make sure to do the hachanas l'mitzvah. Because it's not enough, you want to teach Torah. Imagine, in order to teach Torah, you need a desk. So you sit there, you go into your garage, and you get out your overalls, you put on a baseball cap you make. I don't know if it, when I was a kid, all the Hicks used to have their hair split in the middle and long in the back, and you call yourself Jim Bob. You know, you get a job being one of the sanitation men, one of the janitors at Camp Morasha, you know, and you're driving around your thing, and you're fixing things, and you build, and you say, I want to do the hachanas. I don't know if sanitation people speak that way, but how come they don't have such a major in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan? Sanitation supervisor, you know, a head janitor. Like, why don't guys want to go into that? I mean, there's so much, you know, so much to clean up in the world. So if I was the head of sanitation, you know what I would do? I would first go down to 42nd Street, I'd clean that up, and then from there we would see what we have to clean afterwards. So the all this talk there, this big asifa, you know, about the internet. I was thinking, internet? New York City. Forget about that little machine. Just being in New York City, it's a pachad. There's only one place to go. You scored la sara ba'adecha, the pasuk says. You sit here in the base medrash over here in the shiur room and yeshiva, and you lock the door. There was a story about Reb Chaim Brisker that somebody once came into his house and he had the door like triple locked. So he said, Rebbe, why do you have to triple lock the door? He said, the Rambam says that if you're living in a town that's not holy, that's not pure, you have to run away. And if there's no town that's pure, no place in the world to go, you have to go to the desert. So today it's impossible to live in the desert. So I'm trying to make a little desert here, so I'm triple locking the door. The Rambam writes about his time when women were walking around in Egypt wearing, you know, 16 layers of clothing and covering their faces and nobody could see their eyes. He said, if there's no pure place in the world to live, kamo zmanenu. Like in my time, like the Rambam was talking about before internet and before the New York Post and all the pornography you have at every newsstand and every, you know. I was so happy that it's wintertime here in New York, so Baruch Hashem, even the Geisha women are walking bitznias. But I noticed the advertisements on the streets, you know, the big billboards, they're not afraid of the cold, those poor rabbits who can't afford cold. So it's a pachad to walk down the streets. So you get into your, how do we get onto that? Somehow I always find a way to get onto that, and really the whole Purim story revolves around that, but that's for next year's pre-Purim shir. So, Rebbe, so he did the hachana for the mitzvah. So you want to give a shir? You build a desk. You put a thing, you get your overalls on, and you build a desk, and you want to do not the mitzvah, you do the hachana for the mitzvah. They say in the name of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and they also say in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that America got Shabbos back. There was a long period where in America they weren't keeping Shabbos. But they never got back Erev Shabbos. What happens in America on Erev Shabbos? Not by me, because I'm gainfully unemployed on two different continents. But in America on Erev Shabbos, you know, you have a guy, he leaves his office 3 o'clock, Friday afternoon traffic, you know, and then the Navi, they say there's no Navu in our generation. Whoever says that never saw a GPS. You know, it says there, you're going to be home at 4:42. And you're driving, and boom, at 4:42, you go into your dream. It's unbelievable. I've seen it time and again. So whenever I speak to the young ladies, I try to give them my best marital advice. So I always say you have to learn most from a GPS. I heard this from a Rebbetzin in Eretz Yisrael, because she said she was once driving in her car. Anyone wants to leave, you can leave. People have already left, but I'm just, once I start telling stories, it's hard to stop. So she's driving, we're going to get to the answers, I promise you. She's driving in the car with her husband, and there's a woman in the car telling her husband what to do, and he's listening to everything she says. And she's thinking to herself, what's the secret? I tell my husband one thing, and he gets angry, don't tell me what to do, don't tell me how to drive. And here you have another woman in the car, and everything she's saying, her husband's listening to. Please turn right in 50 yards. And then all of a sudden, in 50 yards, like a good little boy, he turns right. Everything she says. And then she realized, because she's speaking sweetly and softly. Whatever she says, please turn right in 50 yards. And then, of course, he's going to do it, because she's speaking. But a wife, when she starts telling her husband what to do, why'd you do that? He gets angry. She tells him, you didn't know how to drive. And then what happens if he makes a mistake? So what does the GPS say? Recalculate. And everything is fine. But when the husband makes a mistake, does the wife recalculate? No, what'd you do that for? I told you 50 times. You're not looking where you're going. I told. So she said from there she learned the secret. So that's good masir. So you want to make, Rabbi Chiya wanted to make all the hachanas for the mitzvah. So now we learned also to speak nicely. We learned about overalls and everything. Janitation, even people I think have changed their major already, I'm thinking. So... And Rabbi Chiya also said to his wife, when an ani comes, it says in Shabbos Kufin and Aleph Amid Beis, akdimi le rifta, be makdim bread for him. What does it mean, be makdim bread for him? Don't just give him the bread. Do the hachanas. Oh, why was I got onto that? Because I was talking about Erev Shabbos. So somebody gets home at 4:43, and what time is Hadlakas Neiros? 4:38. So what does he have time to do? He only has 18 minutes, but he only has about 14 left. So, you know, he jumps in the shower, if he even has time for a shower, and if he's a really firm guy, so how does a really firm guy, you know, prepare for Shabbos? He just takes the pen out of his shirt pocket, and he's already dressed for Shabbos, right? That's the that's why. But he jumps in, and then a second before Shabbos, then he runs off to shul. There's Shabbos, but where did Erev Shabbos go? We lost Erev Shabbos. People doing hachanas. In Eretz Yisrael, it's better. In Eretz Yisrael, Friday's an off day for a lot of people. So, I mean, most people I know, every day they're not working, so it's, you know, every day they're in Kollel, and then Friday they're off. So Friday they can do hachanas, but in America, Friday's always rush, and people don't have it. It says in the Sfarim, you should take a nap on Erev Shabbos. Friday, it was when I was in HaKotel, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Adar, used to give a long sikha on Friday night. And a lot of the boys were very tired, you know, after they did the whole Mishmar on Thursday night, and then Friday, obviously, you go to Ganap Hamon, and you do Chilut Tzatzamos, you play a little basketball, and then by the time Erev Shabbos, you run, you get prepared, and you go to shul, and then by the time the Sicha comes, and he's talking, so they would fall off to sleep. So he would say, Ani lo mevin. I don't understand. It says in the Sfarim, you know, you're supposed to take a nap in Erev Shabbos. And who do you learn that from? Adam Arishon. When was Adam created? On Friday, right? He was created in Erev Shabbos. And Hashem put a deep sleep on him. And what had he have when he woke up? A wife. So you see, boys, that if you take a nap on Erev Shabbos, who knows what you're going to have when you wake up. It happens to be on Makbid Kimat. Every Erev Shabbos I take a nap. And now I've been married almost 20 years. And it hasn't happened once that I didn't wake up and have a wife right there. And not only that, but magically the hot plate was filled with good food, and the house was all clean. It was just everything a guy would want. A wife, a clean house, lots of food prepared for Shabbos, and all in the schus of my nap. So I'm always encouraging. I always, when I wake up, I go to my wife, I'm like, this is amazing. I'm saying how it works, like magical, all the food, everything prepared, dishes done. Okay, she doesn't think it's as funny as I do. But I can tell you I have a better Friday night than she does, right? Because I'm Friday night. So you're going to say to me, then why don't I let her take the nap? And I should do all the Shabbos preparations. Because at the end of the day, she's not going to fall asleep anyway because it's Erev Shabbos, and how can a woman sleep in Erev Shabbos? Is much too much to do. She's not going to wake up and find a wife. She doesn't need a wife. And there's certainly not going to be any food on the hot plate because, you know what I mean? Maybe a cold beer and pizza, but not much more than that. I don't really know how to. So that's Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya was a man of preparations. And then who is he talking to? Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta. And you see a medrash about Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta. Rabbi Shimon Chalafta learned the pasuk in Mishlei. Leichel namala atzel. Reid rachev chacham. Learn from the ant. Asher ein la katzin umoshel. He doesn't have any policemen. And he still doesn't steal. So it says in the medrash that Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta had a maisa with a certain namala. There was a certain ant. And she dropped a piece of chita. This is all a medrash. And they all went and smelled it. And nobody took it. And the one who it actually belonged to went and took it. And he said, look at the chachma of this ant. The ant never learned. There's no policeman. They never went to criminology class. And yet the ants know not to steal. Asherin lakatsin amoshel. And you, if I appointed shoftim and shotrim, you should certainly listen to the policeman. And that's how we learned pshat. Shoftim and shotrim. Titein lecha b'chol sha'arecha. So you see from here that they learn, these two rabbis both learn this whole inyan of to try to understand, to have mesinus, savlanus. He didn't just read the pasuk and say it must be like that. Right? What happens when Tosfos quotes a Gemara? Tosfos quotes a Gemara, he says, Tosfos says it must be. So who's going to get up and look up the Gemara? Or when the Gemara quotes a pasuk, would the Gemara misquote a pasuk? In numerous places, yes. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, and who wants to get up? So today, they solve the problem on the side of our Gemaras. When I was a kid, they didn't have that. The side of our Gemaras, they have the whole pasuk. But a person's supposed to have, a person's supposed to learn, know that learning is a process. And what's the process? You have a Gemara quoted. So instead of doing the half a sentence, Tosis is assuming that you know the whole shaka batari of the Gemara over there. That's why Tosis is so difficult, because we never do, right? So so what are we supposed to do? Whenever something is quoted, you open up, you look it up, and you go through the process. The Rebbe always tells the story of his Rebbe, the Pnei Menachem. My Rebbe is the Tone Rebbe Shlita. I keep saying my Rebbe, that's right. So it's important to remember your Rebbe, because it keeps you honest. You remember your, put a picture of a tzaddik in your mind, you watch yourself better. So when his Rebbe was the Pnei Menachem. Pnei Menachem was Rebbe Pinchas Menachem Alter, was the previous Ger Rebbe. And he was a Gonol. He was a tremendous genius. So when he was 13 years old, he had a pshetel to say for his bar mitzvah. You know, today you say, I'd like to thank my uncle Rabbi and my aunt Martha for all they've done for me, and they come and light a candle. And, but in the olden days, bar mitzvah, you say, alam de shepshat, and everyone's, ooh. So he prepared his pshetel for his bar mitzvah. And it was a sugi at the end of Erev in the sugi of Tefillin. I think that was a sugi. So he said a line of the Gemara, and then he said, frek de shagas aryeh. So his father, the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe, was sitting there, and he says, what frek de shagas aryeh? What does the Gemara say next? He says, No, but you have to do the sugi. You can't jump to the shagas aryeh before you do the sugi. So he said, okay. And then there were all these gedolei olam sitting there, listening to the drasha. And then he went through the sugi, the shakla v'tayr of the Gemara. And then after you finish with the Gemara, now you can start thinking about Shagas Aryeh, but you're already going to jump a half a line of Gemara, and you're ready. It's the same thing. You learn a Tosfos. Tosfos quotes a half a line. So you open up the Gemara, and you see what the Gemara is talking about. You learn the Gemara, and then you get, when I have Chavrusis, which I have Chavrusis, Baruch Hashem, those people who are nice enough to learn with me, to teach me, when I want to do a Tosfos with them, I don't even like to look at the Tosfos. I say, let's look at the Gemara in Kedushin. And then I say, I promise you it's going to connect. And then we do the whole Sugya in Kedushin. And then I say, now let's look at Tosis and Arsugya. And then we look at Tosis and Arsugya. And then Tosis asks, I'm not a Nabi, I saw before that they're going to ask for the Tosis and Kedushin. They ask for the Tosis and Kedushin. And then the boy always knows exactly what Tosis Kasha is. Because he knows the Gemara, so everything makes complete sense right off the bat. Let's say he hadn't done that Tosis, the Gemara. Then he just would have read it. And then you know that frustrated feeling you have, that sense of nervousness you get when you read something, you don't understand it, that ill-at-ease feeling. Nobody wants to have that feeling. But you can always avoid it by just looking at things, saying, oh, there's a parenthesis here. And the parenthesis means to say, to look in the Gemara Me'ilah. And since until right now, I didn't even know that there was such a thing as a Gemara Me'ilah, let's go to the shelf. Let's hope that it's there. It's probably there because nobody's taken it off, in 2.5 years since they did it in Daf Yomi. Let's take it off the shelf. And let's look up the Gemara Me'ilah and let's see what the Gemara Me'ilah says. That's so interesting. A whole Gemara all about Bris Me'ilah. And then you open up and you say, no, there's an I in there. It's not Bris Me'ilah. It's Me'ilah. You look it up. So you see, there's this inyan of going through the process. Rishon HaChalapta didn't take Shlomo Melech's word for it, that an Amala doesn't steal, even though it doesn't have a policeman. He went and he went through the process. He did, what do we call it today? Today this is called science. What science? Science is you do experiments. And you want to see, a lot of us, we like to get to the end already. Okay, so what was the conclusion? No. You don't just want to know how a person's brains work. You want to know they did this in this experiment, and through this experiment, they discovered that that's how a person's brain works. There's a sefer written by Rabbi Amiel. It's one of my favorite sefarim ever. It's called Hamidos L'Cheker HaHalacha. It's a very, very fascinating sefer. He basically takes 25, 30 svaras, and he shows how these, he says when he was a 13-year-old bachur in Telz, he saw that the same svaras kept repeating themselves. He saw there was a system to the Gemara. It wasn't just random. So he started constructing it in his head. And then when he was older, he wrote 3 volumes, 1,000 pages, showing how 25 basic logical constructs, basic svaras, make their way through all of Shas and Poskim. It's one of the most brilliant svaram you'll ever learn. He did it without a computer. It's just his learning. We're showing him and achronim. It's entertainment for me. Just, whenever I want fun, I just open it up. So he has a very long Hakdama. The Hakdama itself you should read. It's even more important than the Sefer itself. The Hakdama could be a Sefer. It's like 100, 150 page Hakdama. So there he was talking about how you come to any knowledge. How does one come to knowledge? So he brought an example. He said somebody was once sitting in a field and he saw an apple fall from a tree. And he said, Pile plos. The apple fell down from the tree. Why doesn't the apple fall up from the tree? So, that's just pashut, because that's the way the world is. It goes down. No, but why? Ah, there must be something called gravity. And gravity brings down, right? Unless you're an oversized athlete, yes, wearing a tank top, your underpants in public, you don't have gravity, you're just flying. But for most of us, especially white Jewish guys, everything is always bringing us down, slow, yeah? So we came to the... So then who was that? Isaac Newton. Beautiful. So this was Torah Madis, that was the Madis part. So he asked a question, and the only way to come to knowledge in this world is to ask questions, and then you come, there's a process. There's a question, and there's an answer, right, on Pesach. Pesach is the night of chinuch, of education. How do we educate our children? Question, answer. Everything in the Seder is question, answer, right? Malacha Ayam Kisanus, says Rav Huttner. Why Malacha Ayam Kisanus? Why do we ask a question? Because it's Lel Seder, it's Hallel, we're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Malacha Ayam Kita Hayard. I don't know if you're allowed to say Hallel on Tainis Esther. Hayarden Tisov Le'achar. Haharm Tugu, that was its own. Why? Milifnei Hashem Chuli Aretz, Milifnei Hashem. Look, because it's all before Hashem. So, question, answer. Manishtana Halayla Azeh. And what happens if you have no kid to ask you? What do? You ask yourself. Thank you very much. Mismach Gula Gula, if you're allowed to talk about Pesach also. So, at the Gulas, that's why we're doing Adar Beis, because the Gulas come together. So, all knowledge comes from a question and an answer. There's a Gemara in Shabbos in Daf Lamed. The Gemara says that somebody had a kasha, one of the Amorim had a kasha on Mishle, around Koheles. So he said, Shlomo Ma'amelech, Ayei Sichlenuscha, Eifu Asechel Shulcha Shlomo Ma'amelech. As it says in the Gemara, where is your brain? I look at the Gemara, and the Gemara looks at me, and I'm saying, excuse me, but is this the way we speak to the wisest of all men? So Rav Kook in his commentary there in the Einaya says that in order to wake people, in order to open up people's ears, in order to appreciate the magnitude of an answer, of an explanation, first there has to be a question. It was a great philosopher who once said, a Goyish philosopher who said, there is nothing so irrelevant as an answer without a question. And that's the problem of the world today. People aren't asking the question. People aren't asking, what's the meaning of my life? What's purpose? God? Things like that. So there's no question, and therefore if you try to give them the answer, then answer the answer. So he said, where's your seichel? And when you say, where's your seichel? It's like, wow, this must be a really strong question. And then they say, yeah. And then he asks the question, and then you want to know the answer. Now the answer has meaning. But if you just start giving answers all day, people aren't interested in answers if there are no questions. But that's the way we learn. That's why the Gemara is the Gemara. That's why people enjoy Gemara more than they enjoy Shulchan Aruch. What's Shulchan Aruch? Do A, B, C, D, E, F, right? People who really want to understand, inquiring minds, if I may borrow a phrase from some contemporary newspaper. Inquiring minds used to be an advertisement 30 years ago of a certain newspaper. So inquiring minds first want the question, and then there's an answer, and there's a question on the answer, there's a question on the question, and that's how knowledge develops. So Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta and Rabbi Chiya were both people, as we see from Chazal, who wanted to go through the process and wanted to understand. Rabbi Chiya, we saw, prepared for the children. He didn't just teach them Torah, he made all the preparations. He got the deer, and he made the klaf, and he wrote the Chamishah Chamishah Torah, and then he taught them. He was makdim to the ani, the bread. Prepare. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta didn't just want to get to the answer, because that's what Shlomo Melech said. He first did an experiment. He wanted to see that it's really like that. So they were walking together. These two rabbis were walking together. Where were they walking? Who remembers the place? In Bikas Arbel, in this place in Eretz Yisrael. And they saw the sun coming, little by little, and they said, "Kachi Gula Shel Yisrael." That's the Gula. What's the Gula? Little by little, Kima Kima. What does that mean? It means the Gula doesn't come in a day. What do people want? We want Mashiach now. But what do you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu apparently doesn't want Mashiach now. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Mashiach now, he would have come 2,000 years ago. So what's been? What are the last 2,000 years? What have they been? A process. And now that we're in New York City, sitting here, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner said 200 years ago that the last Gullus of Torah was going to be in America, even though at the time there was maybe 3 assimilated Jews in America. But you see the process, and you see that there was a Holocaust, and the center of Torah was in Europe, and that's where everyone was, and people didn't want to come to Eretz Yisrael. And then they were forced to come to Eretz Yisrael. And then miraculously, you know, surrounded by 4 Arab nations, 6 Arab nations, I don't know, there's so many of them. They're all coming in on us. You ever see videos of the 1948, the Independence War? They're all coming on their swords, and they're on their horses with their swords in their hand. What's the Lone Ranger? I forget the theme song already. But and they're coming, and where were the Jews? They were a bunch of Europeans. They never had an army before. And what did they know? And the Arabs, even though it says about Esav al Charba Chatichya, but Yishmael learned a little bit also from Esav, right? He married his daughter. And they somehow, miraculously, 2 miracles, I mean, there were a million miracles. One of them, they won, and they captured Israel. and they were able to declare a state. And number two, probably an even bigger nace, I don't know which was a bigger nace, but that the Goyim, who hated the Jews forever, agreed, the United Nations voted, that we're allowed to have a state. And since then, they've been debating, are we allowed to exist or not? Like, I think it was Abba Ibn, he once said, Israel is the only country in the world where the United Nations has debates whether they have a right to exist. Right? Can you imagine? You know, your parents come to you one Saturday night. You know, it's been a long Shabbos. You know, they were talking for hours, your mother and your father, and they say to you, you know, Daddy and I have been discussing it, and we decided that you still have a right to exist. That'd be pretty offensive. But that's the time we have the right to exist. You know, the board comes to the rabbi. He's in the hospital. And they say, Rabbi, good news. By a vote of 14-9, the board decided to wish you a refuah shleima. Right? I'm saying that's not the way. That's not the right way to treat people. But that's the and the world voted. And since then, they've been against us. But that day, punk, they decided that you're going to have. And then all that's happened since then. And then 1967, they somehow decided to give them Yerushalayim. They gave back Yerushalayim to the Arabs. And then in 1967, Sadat said that we're going to pave the streets, the highway of Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim with Jewish skeletons. That was the plan. The Arabs are going to attack, and then we're finished. And people were ready. They had loads and loads of body bags prepared. I once heard of Goldrich Shlita. He said he remembered he was a little boy. He remembered seeing all of the preparations for all the dead Jews before the war. And people were terrified. They didn't know what was going to happen. And Nisim. And they got the Kotel back. I've been there a million times. They got that back. I'm saying people can deny what happened 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, but you can't deny what you see before your eyes. You can't deny. They're all over. And they're always, you know, preparing nuclear weapons and this and that. But I want them to keep preparing. I want them to have so much nuclear power. Netanyahu's worried, and AIPAC, and all this stuff. I said, give all your money to YU so they stop firing basketball coaches. Yeah? And stop, don't worry about AIPAC. And let them build 50 nuclear reactors, and who's going to get it in the end? It's Pasha, they're going to get it on their own faces, right? Everything that happened in the Purim story ended up turning against him. Haman thought the horse was going to be for him, and the horse was the Mordechai, and Haman was going to hang. Mordechai Yasu Eitz Kamo, Hachamishim Amo. And who ended up on the Eitz? Rov Banav, Kinyanav, Aleitz Talisa. It was all Haman and his thing. Everything they got back, and you're going to, you know, Esther was going into the palace, and what's going to be? And she ended up, she snuck in there, and that they thought. And the whole reason Haman was in, what Mordechai was in, living in Eretz Yisrael, it says in Rashi and Ezra. And he came back because they were writing letters to stop building the building, the Beis HaMikdash, and he was trying to hasten it. And in the end, this brought ultimately to the birth of Daryavish, etc., the building of the second Babayis. It was, everything worked out for our best. So that's the Geula. The Geula is a process. So now we understand. We're going to finish now. I'm sorry, guys. I've been a little bit, not as long as I thought it was, but still long for a fast day. When I spoke at my son's bris, it was Tainus Esther, 15 years ago. I named him after the Ger Rebbe. I named him after Rabbi Mordechai Migur. So I spoke a little bit long because I figured nobody has to go to breakfast anyway. So I figured instead of breakfast, I'd give. And then afterwards, there was a certain person who was so furious at me for giving a long drush. So I haven't changed. 15 years later, I'm still giving long drushes. What happened with Mordechai? It says, "Ubechol yom v'yom Mordechai mishalach lefnei chatzar beis hanashim da'aseh shlom Esther ma'ya seba." Every day he would go. The Sfasema says it was 4 or 5 years. 4 or 5 years. Every day he would go to see Mashlom Esther. What's that? It's a process. Kachi gulasim shel Yisrael. The Sfasema says that in the schus, that's what I said at that same son's bar mitzvah. I said that in the Sfasema says that in the schus, it was in the same room in Shivra Kotel's and Rechov Miskav Ladach, opposite Mariah Bookstore. That's where we had the bris and the bar mitzvah. The wedding, I don't know. We'll see. We should dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That in the schus of that chesed, that he went every day for 4 or 5 years to see how Esther was doing, we had the Geula of Purim. I'm going to ask you, the Geula of Purim was in the schus of what? In the schus of the chesed, that every day for 4 or 5 years, Mordechai would go and see what happened with Esther. Now, is this quick? Is this today? What's today? Today is everything at the press of a button. You know, sometimes you send an email and it says, still working, and you're a little bit annoyed. You wanted to go through already. You have things to do. So I sometimes think to myself that when I was a kid, if I wanted to send a letter to Israel, it took about a month. It took about a week or two until I actually found the stamp and an envelope, and then I wrote the letter. And then it took another 2-3 weeks for it to actually get there, if it got there. So today, everything has to be at the click of a press of a button. So I press buttons because I have a computer, but you guys have iPhones. You don't even have to press a button. You just touch. And now, Baruch Hashem, you don't even have to touch. You can sit in your car, and you can just talk to a machine, and then the machine does whatever you want. You know, you say, I want a Kala. You want a Kala. Please say her name. And then you say her name, and all of a sudden, boop, she appears right next to you in the front seat, and there you have your Kala. I want a wedding hall. So please, make your reservation March 15th. Oh, March 15th, you get the wedding hall, you get that, I want twins. Oh, so put in twins, what are their names? And then out of the things, pop machine pops twins. I'm saying in 2 or 3 years, you don't know what's going to happen with this world. Today there's no effort. Today there's no process. I heard that Rav Pinkus, when he bought a computer, he said, I'll buy the computer on one condition. That we also buy a plant. Why? Because what is a plant? A plant doesn't grow in one day. A computer, everything is immediate gratification. A plant, lot, every day you water it, and you give it some sunshine, and it's a process. So in life we have to learn the process, that not everything is immediate. The Geula of Am Yisrael is a 2,000 year, we're at the end now, we're mamish at the end. Chafetz Chaim said already 80 years ago, so now I can't, it could be today, it could be tomorrow. I still remember the Gulf War. In the Gulf War they thought they were going to gas Israel. I almost died in the Gulf War, by the way. I was there and I almost died, and I'll tell you how. Because I put on the gas mask, and I know how to put it on, so I almost choked myself to death. It's a true story. I said, this is not how I want to die. So I didn't, Baruch Hashem, and I'm still here to tell the story. Nisei Nisim! And they sent 39 scuds. It ended on Purim. They sent 39 scuds to Israel. Nothing. Every time they sent it, they always, you know, in baseball, they always say, hit it where they ain't. That's the whole thing in baseball, if you want to be a good hitter. They hit it where they ain't. That's where they kept sending. That was really... wherever they would send, they always happened not to be Jews. Nisei Nisim. And it's a process. That was part of the process. So that's Geulas and Shel Yisrael. And that's Mordechai. So we said before, but it says Shav L'Saku L'Taniso. Remember we saw the Yerushalmi, that was part of the Geula process? It says it's going to happen little by little. Haman took the horse. And then Mordechai returned to the king's palace. But we said, and then Lahudim Haisar V'Simcha V'Sasim Vikar. After he was paraded around, but that wasn't part of the Lehudim HaYisrael. Remember, the Sefer HaRedim took it out of his girsa? But that's exactly part of the process. That after Haman takes the sus, it says Mordechai shav. Mordechai went back to the Shar HaMelech. The Gemara says in Megillah, shav l'sako l'taniso. Sako v'taniso is part of the process of the Gula. You wear your sackcloth, and you have your fast. That's part of the process, like in life. In life, we have our ups and downs. You skip the downs. That's not life. Life is a process, and we have to appreciate that to get to wherever we're going to get in life, you have to go through the process. Now we have a process. The way the Western world has it is first you pay tens of thousands of dollars a year to work your tail off, in order that one day they pay you tens of thousands of dollars a year to work your tail off. Hopefully they're going to be paying more than you're paying here. Yes? So why can't I just skip the process? Why can't I just go to work? The answer is because what are you going to be doing? You're going to be delivering pizza for $5.50 an hour. Yes? So you go through the process, and you take another test, and another test, and if you're an accountant, 4 tests, and if you're a lawyer, only 1. I'd be a lawyer. Also, accountants can't bill $650 an hour. But, okay, there are other benefits to being an accountant. There aren't to being a lawyer. And it's a process. You go through it, and you want to finish Shas? What did Baron Cutler say? Baron Cutler said, everybody, so Salanter, but Baron Cutler said a little differently. I like it. He says, in America, people want to finish Shas. Yes? But they want to do it in one night, and they also want to have a swimming pool and be able to take a swim that night also. Yes? Mit the swimming pool. Everything has to go easy. So we know it's a process. You go through, you do page by page. You want to skip to the end of Nida. It doesn't work. So that's Mordechai Shava Sako V'Taniso. And that's why Rashi says that this parsha is not al haseder. Ein mukta mucha b'Torah. The Torah is going back, and it's telling you what happened. We're in Aleph Nisan now. And it's telling you what happened on Chav Gimel Nisan. Why is it so important to go out of order? You're right, the Torah doesn't have to be in chronological order. But if it's not in chronological order, you have to ask yourself why. And the answer is, the Torah wants to go backwards to show us the importance of making preparations. That we're going to go out of our way, we're in Aleph Nisan now in Vayikra, and we're going to go back to Chav Gimel, and we're going to say, now you're preparing for the Mishkan 7 days, and I'm going to tell you again, Chazar v'zirzo b'shas maisa, that Zrizin Makdim in La Mitzvah. Not ha-mitzvahs, not that you're not necessarily doing it fast, but that when you're preparing for the mitzvah, when you're preparing for the Mishkan, it has to be 7 days. We're going to go backwards, and we're going to tell you how to do it. So even though we already had, in Parshas Tetzaveh, we already had the tzivui, But now b'shas ma'isa, we have to have this reason makdim in la mitzvahs to tell you again, go back 7 days, and now this is how you're supposed to prepare for the mitzvah. This is how you're supposed to prepare the Mishkan. The Mishkan just doesn't come out of the air. This is how you do it, 7 days, and this is the process to teach you this yisod of zrizin makdimin la mitzvahs. So now we understand, and now we understand that it's not a stir anymore. The geula is in fact kima kima. The geula is a process, and that's not a stir, it is zrizis. Zrizis is also a process. Zrizis isn't you just jump and do it without thinking, the way we go to daven, you know? People run in. You know, sometimes I go to shul, you know, mincha's at 1:30, and at 1:29 and 45 seconds, they have one person in there. If it's in Ramban shul, it's Rav Nevinson. He's already been there since 1:15. Yes, so I'm not chasham to say Ramban shul, they don't come early, but I'm saying you go to a shul, one guy in there, two guys in there, and they're playing with their little toy. Yes, they're doing whatever they're doing with their toy, and then that's there. And then one shows, Ashrei, Rav Selo there, and then they come in the middle, since they have to skip Ashrei. I always feel guilty when I skip Ashrei, only because of Rav Soloveitchik. Soloveitchik says Ashrei is a matir. You can't just come before Hashem and talk to him. He's the master of the universe. So you need a matir. What's a matir? You to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ashrei. Fortunate is one who sits in the house of God. He'll praise you forever. Fortunate is this nation that God is their God. Ashrei am shek. This is really Duachana. What did it say? Tzadikim Arishonim, are you showing? Shah achas. You're just going to go to speak before Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're not going to think about it. So, you jump in, you jump out, and then what happens after davening? You know, somebody told me once davening in the yeshiva in Ramat Gan. There's a hezdi yeshiva in Ramat Gan. So after davening, after Marv, he was there one night, they were dancing. So he said, Lama tem rokdim? And the boy said to him, Ki anachnu yehudim. He's like, what? He said, yeah, anachnu yehudim, anachnu snechim. So after Marv, you just spoke to their Baal Shalom. The biggest, richest guy. You have a meeting, you have a contact. You speak to this guy to get a job. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the best contact in the world. You could speak to him, he can get you all the job. I got an email the other day from a good friend of mine. He said, Rav Elchanan, I see you really put your kochas into tefillah. I need $10 billion. $10 billion? The whole world of Torah will look different forever. Because Jews have money, and they give, you know, $20 million to New York University. They give $10 million to Central Park West. Instead of, you know, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me $10 billion, the whole world of Torah will look different forever. So I was thinking, you know, that's a lot of money, $10 billion. Then I was thinking, Liya Kesef, Liya Zav, Numa Hashem. So I went to Mincha that day, and I davened for my friend that he should have $10 billion, and he's going to redo the whole Olam HaTorah is going to look different. We're not going to need, there's a flaming torch in Eretz Yisrael who's trying to put all of the Olam HaTorah on fire, a Lapid, who's trying to burn all of the Olam HaTorah, and he's not going to let it happen. He's going to make sure he's going to get his 10. Right now, he already, Baruch Hashem, gives a lot of money to Torah and to Eretz Yisrael. But he's going to get his $10 billion. And I told him, I said, we should also be able to give to all of us. But I think the likelihood of, first you have to have a job usually before you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do such big nisim. So I give you guys a bracha. You should have $10 billion. Say amen. And also help Torah and Eretz Yisrael. So that's the whole inyan of Chazer. That's why it's not a stira, Zrizus to the process. Because Zrizus is the process. You do the process with Zrizus. And that's also why it says, we ask why it says par hachatas. Vi chatas, referring to the chatas that was earlier. But we also says ha begadim. And Rashi there doesn't say the begadim that we mentioned in the parashas Tetzaveh. So why does Rashi take the third hey idea of the chatas and say over there that it's talking about the chatas that we learned earlier? So the answer is, says Mori Rabbi Shlita, that this parachatas is a kapara for the Maisa Ego. And what was the Maisa Ego? What happened to the Maisa Ego? Moshe didn't come down. And what didn't the Jews have? Patience. Where is he? He's not here now. Forget about it. You know, the 5-minute rule we used to have over here when I was a young bacher in MTA. Teacher doesn't come for the first 5 minutes. Class is canceled. Right? The 5-minute rule. So, you have no patience. Then I realized I can even have an even better rule. What does it matter where the teacher comes? I'm not coming. So that was didn't help me get ahead in life, but it certainly had me spend a lot more time in the gym. That's why I'm so physically fit. The other night I was running with my son on the street. He says, Abba, you're in better shape than some of my friends. You know, my young guys, they say, yeah, try to keep physically fit. So as you get older, you turn around your age. So now I'm 24, Baruch Hashem, especially Purim time, I can be 24. So if I make it here for Purim, you'll see that I'll be 24 or 18 or 16. We never want to get old. That was what Haman said about the Jewish people. It says, nobody knows Lashon Hara like Haman. What did Haman say about the Jewish? It's very interesting that clock hasn't moved since I started talking. So I see, you know, you can just keep going and going and going, you know. That Haman said, Yeshno Am Echad. So what did Chazal say about Yeshno? Yashnu mena mitzvahs. Less man diyadalishna bishaka Haman. They're sleeping for mitzvahs. So if you want to know how to get the Jewish people, that's it. They're sleeping. So the avod of Purim is to be awake. So even though you're going to say that the Ramah says you're supposed to drink a little wine and go to sleep, but I'm saying when you get up, yes, or before you fall asleep. So that's why Rashi is here, par hachatos, because that's the lesson of the Cheda Egel. Lesson of the Cheda Egel is the whole. What's the yisod here? Zrizas. That you have to know that Zrizas is a process, and the Cheda Egel, they weren't willing to wait; they needed it now, and that's a lot of times where in life some Bachrim here are in the process of trying to find a wife. So what's the price of trying to find the wife? So we only look at the last one. The last one's the only one that counts. And everybody else was just a waste of time. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'chora, if you're not, you can make it that you hit a home run the first time, right? So if he's making you go through, this one didn't work out, and that one didn't work out, and this one dumped me, and this one I had to end the relationship, and it doesn't feel good that when she ends it, and it doesn't feel good when you end it. So some people, and they get frustrated, and they don't want to do it anymore. And they just want to skip to the end. What's the end? You're happily married with 7 children. You know, you have a mansion in Back Lawrence. You know, you're supporting with your 10 billion the Olam HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael. You don't feel guilty you're not living there because you know that even Rav Kook told people to stay in America if they were making money and supporting Torah there. So it's really okay as long as you're supporting it. And that's really like living in Eretz Yisrael. The Avnei Nezer anyway says that you're not Mekayim in the midst of living in Eretz Yisrael if you're being supported from America. Because you're anyway being supported through the malachim of Chutz Laaretz. Eretz Yisrael, everything is direct. But if all your money is coming from Chutz Laaretz, then it's through the malachim of Chutz Laaretz. It's not from Hashem anyway. So you might as well be in America, and then you're supporting, so it's really okay. So you want to get to the end. You want to get to the end. You don't want to sit every single day and go to a shir and learn the daf, and it's a hard daf. It's any diagrams. You just want to get to the Siyo Mashas. Layla min kol birchtsav shir asal tushba mazel tov. And then you watch this. You know how many times I watch that video? Every time I watch it, it's just, you know, I get tears in my eyes a lot, and it's so thing. When 93,000 Jews and they're singing about Torah and they're celebrating. What do 93,000 goyim get together for? Can you imagine them getting together to celebrate that they all finished the Havdil and billion Havdalas between Avodah Zarah and Kedusha? They all finished the New Testament. So you have 93,000 and they're singing and they're dancing and they're joyous and they're putting people on their shoulders and they're holding it and they say, no, we're starting again. And they all speak to Goyish friends of yours at work or wherever you meet them. Say, do you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to study Bible every day? No, I get up 5 o'clock in the morning. It's a long process. It's difficult. Even though I went to shul here and they had a Daf Yomi, they have a Daf Yomi shir, 20 minutes. 20 minutes? I say, listen, if you can already such an elu, you can do it in 20 minutes. On the internet, they have in 10 minutes. And if you're already doing it in 10 minutes, you might as well not do it at all because you're not really understanding it anyway. So you put in your effort and you put every day, you do an hour and a half, you do an amud. An hour and a half, you do an amud. I promise you. And you can sue me if I'm wrong. Anyone wants to become a lawyer, you can sue me for big money. If you do an hour and a half every day in Amud, in approximately 15 years, you'll finish Shas. I promise you. No doubt. Don't miss a day. 15 years, you'll finish Shas. And if you do it properly, you do Chazaras, you'll know Shas. But it's a process. It takes a long time. And that's our lives, our processes. And we're all going to have downs in lives. And your marriage is a process. Raising children is a process. And your job. And the gula of Am Yisrael, and the gula of the whole world, it's all a process. And kachi gula asim shay Yisrael, and that's what we learned from the Purim story. There were ups, there were downs, even downs were part of the process, but what was the end? 1, 2, 3, 4. La Yehudim, La Yehudim, La Yehudim, La Yehudim, La Yehudim, La Yehudim, La Ayudim, ayudim, ay zara, bezeva, beza zamigar. 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 Ayudim, ayudim. Thank you so much for coming.